Give us this day our daily bread. We use those words every time we say the Lord's Prayer. If you're like me, sometimes it's easy to forget what we're even petitioning God for in those words. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord's Prayer is such a beautiful prayer that our Lord put together for us as a model prayer. And if you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's primarily focused on the tremendous spiritual blessings that we have and making requests in regard to our spiritual lives. We pray that God's name would be hallowed among us. We pray that his kingdom would come so that we could have faith in him and get to heaven. We pray that God's will would be done, that he would forgive us our many sins, that he would guard and keep us from the devil and deliver us from evil. All of these wonderful petitions are spiritually minded. And then tucked inside of this prayer, we have this one, if you will, odd petition that stands out a little bit, and that is praying for the daily blessings that we enjoy all the time. Give us this day our daily bread. God would have us see and recognize all the daily gifts that we have in the context of our Christian faith and in the context of all of the other wonderful spiritual blessings that he has chosen to give us on account of Christ our Savior. Give us this day our daily bread. World economists have different ways of measuring wealth around the world, and they have a certain thing that they use called the HDI, the Human Development Index, the HDI, Human Development Index. And we think of it primarily as what you would call a standard of living. Out of the 196 countries in the world, we presently rank number 3 on the HDI. Only Australia and Norway are above us. Well, we would expect Norway. There's also a thing that they call the quintile income ratio. Quintile income ratio. And this is what they do. They take all of the wealth of a nation and they all of the different levels of income, and they divide it into 5 segments. And then they try to compare the top segment to the bottom segment. How vast and wide is the disparity? And the U.S. ranks number 1 in this in the world. There is no other nation even close to us with the dramatic disparity between the wealthiest people in our country and the poorest. And yet even the poorest people in our country are wealthier than people in many other places of the world as well. Now, what this means is that you and I, being blessed to live here in the United States, we live in a country where there is this tremendous wealth all around us all the time. Unlike people that live in, let's say, Mexico or other countries, where maybe there are some pockets of wealth, they don't see extreme wealth near them all the time. We do. We have it around us constantly. It's on television constantly. We see it on our computers and in magazines. We have riches in front of us constantly. And because of that, there are 3 spiritual challenges for us. First of all, we can live in an expectation that we deserve these things. We are entitled to them. We should have wealth because I'm an American. That's a temptation for us to just assume that we should have all of these earthly blessings. They also have the potential to cause us to lose perspective on what really matters in life and the eternal riches that God has promised us through Christ. And they also may cause us to forget that all of the things we enjoy every day come from the hand of our gracious God. And we might, for that reason, then forget to be grateful to him as often as we should be. God would have us learn how to have true thanksgiving to him. True thanksgiving for one of his children begins at the cross. By God's grace through Christ, he has chosen to look at you through the smeared blood of his Son. And as he looks at you through the blood of his Son, he sees you as holy, even though you and I know we're not. But he sees you as holy through the blood of his Son. He sees you as forgiven. He sees you as a saint. He sees you as someone who is worthy of coming to heaven, as an actual heir who will inherit heaven someday. Because he, by his grace, has chosen to look at you through the blood of his Son. And now, as one of those dear children, he would also have you look at your blessings in life through the blood of His Son. He would have you look at all the gifts that you get in your daily bread every day through the blood of Christ. Let me explain what I mean by that. Just in the last week or so, over near Winona, there was a fire that consumed a house. And it just so happened that inside of that home, there was a lady and her little infant child. Right a couple houses away, as the house was starting on fire, there was a young man and his teenage son who were putting up Christmas lights. And they suddenly looked over a few houses away and saw this house burning from the bottom up. Knowing that there probably could be somebody in there, they grabbed their ladder and ran over and smashed through the window from the outside, an upstairs window, and went in and rescued this woman and her little child and brought them to safety. Now, I'm sure that woman was extremely grateful that this man saw the fire, which apparently she hadn't even seen yet, and rescued her and her baby and took them out to safety. Now let's use our imagination. Let's say in a few weeks at Christmas time, that same neighbor that put his life at risk, maybe even got some burns out of it. Let's say that that same neighbor who was so kind to rescue her happened to give her, let's say, like a comforter, a nice blanket or something for Christmas as a Christmas gift. Just think how she would look at that gift different than any other present that she got, because she knows of his dedication to her in a greater way. Use that as a picture of how you and I can go back and look at the gifts that we have every day in our lives. We can look at them through the blood of Christ. We can look at them understanding that the one who gives them to us all the time and lets us enjoy these things, he is so dedicated to us that he laid himself across the coals of hell so you would never have to know what that kind of heat feels like. And he has purchased your salvation and given you the hope of everlasting life in heaven. And now when he gives you the little presents that he does in your life, we can look at them with a completely new set of eyes. This week, even the atheists in our country have reasons to be thankful to God. Don't you think that we who understand what this gracious God has truly done for us and know what he has waiting for us with the angels, don't you think we have a reason to be thankful as well?